New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1068, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Small town Emily Brown, I think. Didn't we decide that last week? Small town Emily Brown.
Midtown
Emily Brown. Once again, Jamie's out. Derek's out. And so joining us once again from his new home in Southern California, Social Club Misfits, Marty. Hey, man.
Substitute teacher in the building. Substitute. Let's do it.
So, I was like, I thought you were doing that on the side. No, okay, you're for the podcast.
I got subbed. Got it.
Hey, Marty, I want to ask, like, tell us what's going on. What are you excited about? What are you working on? What do you have coming up? Promote something.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a remix album, Social Club remix album of the last album coming out June 24th. Super pumped about it. It's funny. This album has done so incredible overseas. We've never seen something like this where our music just actually did better overseas and internationally than it did in America, which is really odd for us. So to kind of keep that momentum, we did a dance album that's coming out June 24th. And it's just a bunch of club remixes of about seven songs on the album. And the first one's doing really good. Oddly enough, number one in six countries, France, wow. Netherlands, Denmark, like, just, you know, like Sweden, like it's a funny thing to see, like, because I can see all the charts as it comes in real time. Today, I got another chart. It's like Brazil, number one, France, number two. So we just kind of, you know, we're going international, which is funny because true story, next month, we actually got booked to go to Canada and Fern didn't get approved to get into the state. So we're working through this process, but I have to go by myself, but we're working through this process of trying to go international. But because of our story, it's a little harder to do that. Social Club has been doing really good international. So June 24th, you'll hear this dance album. You'll be able to shake your butt with your family. And are there dance artists in the Christian world? Like, I know that I feel like the pool is a lot smaller, but are there? Does anybody know of any? I know maybe one dance like artist, like a Dua Lipa or a Skrillex or somebody in the Christian. There's not really one. So
we felt like it was a good opportunity. I remember back in the '90s, like there was like Crystal. There was a little bit of a little dancing in the mid-90s. But
I don't know why I said meth to that, Crystal.
Because you're from Florida originally.
Yeah, definitely. From the county. But we were laughing because I have like Jimmy Rock. That's like one person. I don't know many artists. And so, Social Club, we're always 2 years early. So we're doing a dance album now. I love making dance music. I love producing it. So this is going to be a fun experience.
So you really do love EDM?
I don't love EDM. EDM has changed, right? So EDM, at one point, everyone thought EDM was like industrial, like, you know, and now EDM is more of like a Diplo sound. So I do love that a lot. I love creating it. I actually remixed the Beyonce album, a dance version of it, just for like myself to teach myself how to do it. I love dance music. You know, like, who doesn't want to have happy music sometimes?
Does every track have the ramp up and the drop where the beat drops?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, they have to have that.
Gotcha.
It's like when you're working out and it's like, are you down, da 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 da. It's like, then it's like a song from like Backstreet, bye, 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 and drops. Like, it's one of those, you know. It's going to be great. I'm really pumped about it. We were able to get a lot of... I like to work with young producers who are hungry and like under 5,000 followers and just want to work. And so we found like three or four guys who were just hungry. A lot of them not even in country. So they know what it feels like to, you know, play dance music for that type of a crowd. And so we had the real people create it. And it sounds, some of the songs sound even better than the original. So yeah, go check that out on Social Club's page.
I literally thought you were going to say that you love Liz working with young producers that are less than $5,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That too, 100%.
That helps.
But less than 5,000 followers. I like guys who nobody knows about that people could steal after us. Like, I like that's like a piece of the hip hop that I love where it's like we're working with, like Jay-Z would do that. He'd work with guys and then they'd become famous afterwards. And, you know, you take that, you take that chance on people. Even, you know, it's funny. We have a video coming out in like 2 weeks for a song. And one thing that not all my videos I love, because I think I always hype up the director. I'm like, go crazy. Then they can never deliver because I've upped the ante so high. And I'm like, you know, I just got to work with people who are super hungry, humble, and just want to make something cool.
Well, that's awesome. Okay. Well, speaking of amazing stuff coming up, we have a great show for you today. Naomi Rain from Maverick City Music joins us. She has a tour kicking off next week. We talked to her about that and a lot more. You don't want to miss that. At the end of the show today, we have a very special edition of Two Truths and a Lie. Last time we played this with the cast, Marty wasn't on and Emily wasn't on. So it's going to be a good time. You don't want to miss that. But stay tuned. Right now, up next, it's Slices. You're listening to our very own Social Club Misfits with Tommy Royale. The song is The One Out the Friend Zone. It's the Kevin Alexander remix. It's their new single, and it will be on their upcoming remix album that Marty just told you about, coming out in June. Don't miss it. It's going to be a party. The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right. So, you know, a lot of the scuttlebutt in media right now is about the coming impact of AI. And, you know, we've had the one of the inventors of AI for Google talk about how dangerous it is. And, you know, Elon Musk is, you know, publicly warning people about how concerned he is about its, you know, ability to kind of take over humanity. I'm not discounting all those smart people, but every once in a while I read a story like this that I'm about to present for my slice. I get just slightly less concerned about the takeover of humanity. This comes from the tech site, The Verge. Okay. So a well-known tech site, and they were reporting on basically aggregating a report through from the Wall Street Journal about Wendy's is partnering with Google for the Wendy's AI drive-through experience. When I first saw this, I was like, Wendy's is partnering with Google to use the power of AI to enhance the Wendy's experience. In my mind, the reason this is in the Wall Street Journal and The Verge is because it's got to be big, right? Like, it's Wendy's now, as you drive up, this artificial intelligence is going to do facial recognition and have you in some sort of database and know what your order is and know how to custom. In my mind, that's what this national news is. Can I read a statement? Can I read a portion of this story? Okay. In a statement to the Wall Street Journal, Google Cloud CEO Thomas Curran acknowledged some of the challenges associated with using an AI chatbot at the drive-thru. The bot will have to ignore any noises it hears from kids in the backseat of the vehicle, for example. It will also have to deal with customers who change their minds in the middle of an order. You may think driving by and speaking into a drive-thru is an easy problem for AI, but it's actually one of the hardest. Really, really, because I'm pretty sure like my dentist office has been using the exact same technology for about 15 years for me to make an appointment. Like, you're ordering from a Wendy's drive-thru, the CEO of Google Cloud is telling us how difficult of a technical problem this is for Google's AI, and we're worried about it launching nuclear attack on humanity. It can't discern from me ordering a junior bacon cheeseburger than a kid in the backseat of a car, like playing on a device. I read this story today and I was like, one, I'm shocked this is national news. Like, this doesn't seem like all that sophisticated of a technology. Two, the head of this, I would be humiliated if I was Google. If it's like, dude, we're going to roll out the guy over the smartest thing we do. And he's telling them, we're having a hard time getting a Wendy's drive-through to work on this. Are you guys a little surprised?
I agree with you, Jesse, 100%. I really think that they think AI is going to do all this stuff. I'm like, people are awful at everything. Like, we're going to make this worse. It's not going to work for us.
Yeah.
They were also saying not only the noises and the ambient stuff, but like everybody orders differently. People have really weird accents, different accents, and it won't understand. So it's like somebody orders a junior bacon cheeseburger. Somebody else calls it a JBC. Mm. They want a JBC and a milkshake. Well, it's a frosty. And, you know, like all these variables and stuff are going to cause it issues.
Listen, I get it. Those are variables. They seem very resolvable by the biggest tech company in the history of humanity to discern if I'm, you know, how three different people order their cheeseburgers. Like, the Google is getting spun up by a Wendy's drive-thru? Like,
yeah.
I was far less concerned about, you know, the coming.
I kind of thought we were going to talk about this today. And I thought the direction you would take this is a thing of like, we know that high-end tech jobs are getting replaced by AI right now, but now they're coming after the entry-level jobs. What, you know, the kids won't be able to get our first job working the Wendy's drive-thru. You know, this is going to change everything for the next generation. I thought you were going to go the ethical route, though. Oh, no. You're going, Wendy's ordering is too complicated for Google. I did not expect this take.
Me telling a Wendy's, a robot drive-thru that I want to hold the pickles is going to break Google. It's basically what Google. I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing right now. It's like when you Google into flames. Yeah, when you Google the word Google and the internet breaks for like 15 minutes. Like, that's what you're telling me is going to happen.
That's funny. I didn't see that coming. All right. What do you have, Emily?
The trailer for the new movie Flamin' Hot recently dropped. I am really excited about this because I love Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It tells like the true story of how this like former Frito-Lay janitor, he invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos. But I was thinking about it. Has there ever been a movie about like the invention of chips? Like, this feels like a very odd story to be telling.
No, it's an inspiring story. He was a janitor struggling. He was praying for breakthrough in his life. And,
but I mean, like, how did any chip ever get made?
I thought his story was debunked also. I've always heard that story was debunked. That was like an old wives' tale.
Yeah, there was some recent reporting that it might not be quite as inspiring.
Cheeto even came out and was like, we don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah.
No way.
It's not as, but I agree with you, Emily. Like, you know, I think because this one had an apparently inspiring origin stories, which has now been called into question.
Hold on. Okay, I am looking this up right now. Cheetos is all over this movie. This is officially
a Cheetos movie,
yeah. Cheetos branding all over it. So Cheetos is involved. First Google, LA Times story from 2 years ago. Richard Montañez did not actually invent Flamin' Hot Cheetos is the headline.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing is a lie.
What?
Yeah.
Does it matter? Does it really matter?
You're telling me a movie lied to me?
It's like Founder. You know, we feel bad when Michael Keaton, but we still want to go to McDonald's afterwards. It's like the Founder, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
But really, what are we thanking him for? Diarrhea? Like, what are we talking about here? Thank you, kind sir. You gave diarrhea to the entire world. You gave us a 48-hour window of stomach problems. Thank you. Because that's what happens when you eat hot Cheetos. You're going to get a little bit, you're not going to feel good.
This is insane. This guy has gone on a speaking circuit for the last 10 years, telling the inspiring story of how he invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It goes like this. He was working as a janitor at Frito-Lay's Rancho Cucamonga plant when he dreamed up a chili-covered Cheeto and believed in himself enough to call up the chief executive to pitch his spicy idea. Corporate backstabbers tried to sabotage him for stepping out of line, but he out-hustled them. Driven by a hunger to succeed, Flamin' Hot became a runaway hit. Blah, blah, blah. He's been on a speaking circuit for the last 13 years telling this inspiring story to like corporate gatherings and things like that. And now they're saying it's completely not true.
Yeah.
So what is you the true story?
He wrote memoirs. He wrote books about this.
That's the more interesting story, though.
It is.
The
you're right, Jesse.
Hot, Flamin' Hot story. Like the Flamin' Hot story of Flamin' Hot, the Flamin' Hot movie. I'd watch that about how one guy got a movie and book written about him and went on a speaking tour for something he did.
That's amazing. That's the American dream.
Taking
right
credit
there.
For inventing a product he didn't. That's even more. I actually admire this guy more. That it's more impressive to me that to have the world believe that you invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos to the extent that you get a movie made out of you. That's more impressive than inventing Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
He's sponsored like the by final Cheetos. Hustler boss. Yeah.
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 So the reason why we covered this when it was first announced a couple of years ago, and it's interesting in our lane, is I don't know if you remember Devon Franklin, Christian media maker, yeah. speaker, author. He's been on this podcast and our magazine many times. He got a big movie deal with some of the studios. He formed a production company. This was the first major script that they bought out of a bidding war. This is a Devon Franklin produced
wow.
film for Searchlight, directed by Eva Longoria. So it's like, that's why this is interesting to us. Yeah. So this inspiring story, Devon Franklin wants to make inspiring media and all this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, it appears this is completely a fabricated story, but good on you. To your point, Jesse, good on this dude for like getting a book deal, getting a movie sold.
I'm more inspired by the guy.
It feels like it would be on Apple TV soon.
He went and just told people that he invented one of the most popular. That's like me saying, hey, you know, nerd ropes, you know, like the candy nerds and how they're wrapped in that little gummy rope. I invented that. And if I get the whole world to believe me, that's more impressive than inventing the nerd rope, in my opinion.
It's funny on this story from Variety, the one of the screenwriters from the film, he has a quote like kind of defending the guy saying the heart and soul and spirit of the story is true. He is a guy who should remain the face of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So even they're kind of acknowledging like, yeah, it's not completely factual, but the spirit of it's there. Well,
so apparently after his big speaking tours and all this stuff, people started to call into question his account, and Frito-Lay investigated it. And Frito-Lay wrote in a statement, none of our records show that Richard was involved in any capacity yes. in the Flamin' Hot test yes. market. We have interviewed multiple personnel who are involved in the test market, and all of them indicate that Richard was not involved in any capacity. That doesn't mean we don't celebrate Richard, but the facts do not support the urban legend.
What are they celebrating, though, in Richard? Like, what is Richard being
celebrated
for? The
heart and
for?
Spirit of the story.
Do you guys ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Remember, like, if you guys do in the, like, second season where this guy told Larry David, he's like, my dad or my grandfather invented the Cobb salad. And he's like, really? Bob he's like, Cobb. Bob yeah, Cobb. Yeah. And he's like, so he looks yeah. it up that night and he's like, your grandfather did not invent that. And they get into this whole thing. And that whole guy's, like, identity was based on his grandfather being the guy who invented Cobb salad. There's a lot of similarities in this situation where this guy from Rancho Cucamonga who became the, you know, it's a brand. Now it's going to sell more, but it's all full of, you know, it's all crap.
Okay. This is interesting too. So they concluded this statement that Frito-Lay said, we value Richard's many contributions to our company, especially his insights into Hispanic consumers, but we do not credit the creation of Flamin' Hot Cheetos or any Flamin' Hot products to him. So then the producers of this biopic were informed of all these problems by Frito-Lay in 2019, but Devon Franklin moved forward and announced the casting and just said, oh, well, and is going to make a movie about it, even though Frito-Lay told him this isn't true, buddy.
Wow. Listen, holy once cow. Again, I'm even more impressed by Richard. Like this is unbelievable.
You can.
Like,
you know,
exactly. Like the long con, he's got the people that he's like taking credit for their work. He's got them excited about it. You know, like this guy's a genius.
He's probably
this is a better
home,
movie
Jesse,
than the movie
like,
they
I can't
make.
Believe I got away with this. This is amazing. Like I did it. I tricked the world. I did it.
Listen, I told everyone I invented Flaming Hot Cheetos.
The momentum created itself.
Eventually got caught and nobody got mad. Like nobody everyone cared. Was still like, all right, cool. Well, we're just going to roll with it, man.
Can you imagine being Devon Franklin though? And it was a bidding war for this story. And so this is going to be his first big film. And under his new production deal, he spends crazy amount of money to get the rights to this story. And after it had happened, Frito-Lay reached out to the production company saying, hey, that story you just bought is a complete farce. And they move forward with the movie anyway. That's crazy to me. Anyway,
hey,
sorry.
Good for
and Eva Longoria is directing it, which is even funnier to me.
And you know, there's some like nerdy, like food chemist who went to school, like went to like has like a doctorate in chemistry, like gastrological chemistry, that spent a decade perfecting nacho, you know, flaming hot Cheeto powder,
yeah.
You know, tons of like lab tests and
product testing everything, yeah. Years.
And that guy's just like, oh,
it's because he's white. Church. I'm just kidding. That's messed up. It's because his name was Adam.
The report I was reading said it did, like, supposedly it originated somewhere in the upper Midwest, which, no offense to the upper Midwest, but, like, I'll say Richard's story is a bit more there. Believable. Yeah. Yeah, they have Old Bay seasoning, so.
Oh,
yeah. Old Bay is exciting in the upper Midwest.
Guys, I'm going to claim Old Bay pretty soon here, okay? And people are going to be like, the Old Bay's been around since.
Oh, yeah, my God. That's the Old Bay film.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What do you have, Marty?
Yeah, I have an article today for today's Slice. It's about Snoop Dogg. It goes off script on streaming platforms payout and rival rant. And this is what he said. Can someone explain to me how you can get 1 billion streams and not get $1 million? And so he basically was at a conference, starts talking, saying this. Why is this not happening? Why is it not fair?
Because it came up because of the writer strike going on right now.
Writer strike.
And he's talking about the value
of AI.
The value of content. Yeah.
Connects to the story of AI, connects to a lot of things that are happening right now. You know, like I'm in California. That's all people could talk about. Imagine Dragons yesterday performed for Netflix employees who were outside. Like, it's a big deal over here. I mean, and I think the AI has a lot of, AI has brought a lot of concern because they're like, well, we can just use AI now to help scripts. And that's just that's stupid to me because people create stories and stories are created. It's a human experience to see somebody like the guy who made the Cheeto stuff. And it just gives you hope. And so I don't think AI could do that. But Snoop Dogg is basically saying, like, how do you make 1 billion? How can you get 1 billion streams on a song and barely crack $1 million? And that's a valid point, you know, being that our music's on streaming sites. It's like 0.3 cents right now that we get paid. And then that 0.3 cents per stream has to be split between everybody. Yeah. So like a lot of social club songs, it's just me and Fern and the producer. That's pretty much it when you see. But then you think about songs from Beyonce or, you know, there's a guy named St. John who wrote a song for Usher, 70 million streams, tells a story. He's told the story at South by Southwest, but he wrote a song for Usher, 70 million streams, has only made $1,500 from the entire song. So there is a obvious disconnect there. You know, they say streaming services lose money, but a lot of companies, and not just music companies, as of in the last couple months, have been under fire because they are showing projections of record years, but they're giving their employees less money. They're getting 30% of bonuses and things like that. So it's happening. You know, some Herman Miller, the CEO, got in trouble. She didn't want to give anybody bonuses because she's like, we have to make our, it just seems insensitive. So I think it's just a bigger conversation. And the oddest part about this to me is that you have Tidal that actually does pay people a lot of money. Like if you get 1 million streams on Tidal, it's like 15 grand, but it's a $3,000 check on Spotify. And people don't want to use Tidal because Spotify matters more, but I think it talks about a bigger conversation that, you know, you have execs that are taking big bonuses and checks, and then you have artists who have historically been giving bad contracts, like in the 80s, the 90s, you know, you think of TLC and some of these acts that said, we sold 10 million copies and have only made like 30 grand each, you know? So historically, this has been an issue. It's always an issue where the top is getting paid the majority. And as we go down to the creators are not making money. So I totally agree with Snoop. I mean, it is a conversation, but I do understand from Spotify's perspective, you know, like there's 3 cents being paid. They're making a loss, but at the same time, it's, you know, then you have free accounts that kind of throw that into the equation for Spotify. College accounts, we get paid even less. It is a bigger conversation, but I do think, like, as of recently, there's been unions that have been created in the music industry or even in the acting, and where they're fighting for our rights and fighting for my rights and for actors and people. So I hope that those conversations continue, but it's true. It's a fact. You can get 1 billion streams and get, you know, and think about this, guys who are independent. It's not like that for us. When I was independent, You know, when we'd get a million streams, we'd get a lot more money than that. But just imagine someone who's signed, who has to get a portion of that on top of that, especially, you know, and then the way contracts are dealt, it's if you are a bigger artist, you get a bigger chunk. The smaller, a newer artist is getting pennies on the dollar. So Meek Mill even said the other day, he's probably only made 15 grand for music. It just shows you. Yeah, he was like, I've only made about fit. There's a song he talked about, his biggest song with Drake. He's only made 15 grand. And that's because of creative contracts and lawyers and putting money back in the song. And I understand that there's a process for that, but they intentionally make it hard for us to not understand our contracts. And so, a lot of times I've heard, and this is a fact, in the music industry, labels will give you their lawyer to look over a contract, and those lawyers are in cahoots with the label. So, you know, I think that any musician that's out there, any creative, even if you're a writer and any, because I've written a lot, movies, I've written music, I've done a lot of stuff. I just believe that you need to have good lawyer. A good lawyer is always worth its money, weight in gold. But yeah, we're all being in cahoots over here, being paid a lot less than we should. So
it sounds like maybe this WGA strike, which obviously the directors are coming up next month, and I mean Hollywood may shut down.
Yeah.
Maybe this might be a reckoning that, like, we have to rethink the entire puzzle here on how creators are compensated. And if that happens for the TV and film industry, maybe there'll be changes over in the music industry too.
Yeah.
Snoop pointed this out at a conversation about the writer's strike
too, like, which is great. Yeah, I mean, that's a room full of power players. You know, I think that back in the day, you think about, he's using back in the day, but in historically, when you'd create a character, you'd own it. Right, you know, Earthworm Jim, or think about Bobby's World, like certain characters, and now that doesn't exist anymore. Like a studio is saying, "Hey, if you write this for us, we own it now." So you don't own your characters. So the age of Stan Lee owning Super Marvel characters, like that age is thinning out, because you know it's they call them work for hires. You know, it's like I'm paying you for your time, and that whatever the time you work, you get paid, but all the intellectual property belongs to us. And that's a very common occurrence, and that sucks, you know, because that's your legacy. So I stand with the writers on this. I think that for writers who've been in the industry for 20 years to be making maybe 90 grand, that's insane, especially when they create some of the most important content that we see, you know, you should be able to own a piece of it, or, you know, get a piece of the master of it, which is like, give us, they're asking for like 3 cents. They're asking for like 3% of everything. That's standard of music for a producer. Get 3% of a song. They're asking for only 3%. Like that's one of their bargain, and they're not even getting that, which is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, that strike really started because their last deal was in 2007 and streaming didn't exist.
Was that the last strike? Now, remember the last?
Yeah,
was that
2007. Okay. Uh-huh. And so like this one is like, we're not getting compensated for the primary way people are seeing our creation. And so they were like, we need a fundamental rethink about the entire model. So it may drag on for a while.
It might. I was reading yesterday that three movies, Blade got paused. Like two other big Marvel movies, Blade and two other things got paused. And that's Marvel. That's the biggest corporation. That's the corporation on The Boys? It's like that. It's like that big corporation. And it's gonna.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, I mean Succession too. I mean the guy. I love the signs. If you, those writers are very creative. One of the signs was like, if you don't pay us, I'm gonna spoil Succession. You know, like on the sign or a sign that said, I tried to have AI write the song, but it gave me crap. You know, like write the sign, but it gave me crap only. You know, so they're getting creative with it, and it almost just feels like this is a constant power struggle in a capitalistic society where you have people who fund these events, and then you have people who actually create these events, and there's just that power struggle. And I hope that it becomes fair for everyone, just win-win. I mean, what can we do without writers and songwriters and artists and musicians and creatives and filmmakers? Like, they push culture, and that's a very important piece of what, you know, everyone today will probably say a phrase from a movie. We'll throw it out there, you know, because that's how ingrained it is into our culture. Like it creates what we laugh at, you know, what we love, what we cry for, the stories.
Yeah, all these multi-billion dollar corporations are built on the back of what these writers create. So it's like, they got to figure it out. Bingo. And they will. Yeah. Hopefully the music industry will follow right behind.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Naomi Rain joins us. You're listening to Hippocampus. The song is Moonshine. Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today. Well, our guest today is Naomi Rain. You know her. She's one of the key members of Maverick City Music. Right now, she's on the It's Time tour with Tasha Cobbs, Leonard, Taya, and Natalie Grant. That's a powerhouse lineup. There you go. We sat down with Naomi to talk about the impact of this tour, what it's like to be a woman in the music industry, and how she hopes to inspire the next generation of female worship leaders. Here's our conversation with Naomi Rain.
Don't you know my love is always near? You are safe here.
I love that it's like just four powerhouse female voices that like come together. I'm curious, like, how did this tour come to be?
I was actually talking with one of my business partners, and we were just talking about going out on tour and seeing like what felt right. And I was planning to go out with Taya, and I think Tasha was planning to go out with Brooke Lizardwood. And so we were like, that's dope. Like, what if we all just went together, like, and just did a big, like, women's worship tour? Like, what if we just did that? And so they reached out, and they were down. Of course, Brooke ended up not being able to do it, but it was like literally just a pop. Like, what if we tried this? And it was actually really something. I think it worked way better. I feel like it was really God's idea, you know, that we just kind of stumbled upon.
Yeah, it's been exciting to see, like I said, just four women that, like, I love hearing their voices and hearing y'all, like, come together for, like, a worship night. It's just mm-hmm. really cool. I can't really think of any other time where I've gotten to see that. So it's really cool.
It hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
It has not happened. And so I think it's super dope that we get to kind of make history, and hopefully we'll get to keep making history, because this is important. Women men dominate the tour space, like in Christian music. And you hardly see collaboration like this. And, you know, there's some talks that women can't get along and we're catty, and that has not been the case on this tour. We've been getting along very, very well. And from the moment that we talked about it, we just clicked instantly, and it made sense. So I think the hand of God is on it, and I'm hoping, and if I get to, if I get to live a little longer, I'm praying that I'm a part of more things like this, even if I'm just supporting it, encouraging it, pushing it on. There should be more. This is the breakthrough. What if God is doing something
brand new? There are other people coming with you. It is so interesting to think about. There are so many like male worship artists that are just like kind of, they're all in the industry. So I'd actually love to know, like, do you have any advice for maybe like younger women who want to become worship leaders, and like, but they see this space where it's like very male dominated?
Yes, that's a really interesting question for me, because I almost say don't want to become a worship leader. That's like, period. But outside of that, because I think that, well, I know that leading worship is literally just worshiping God, right? And other people following you, you know, you showing them who he is. It's like, don't look at me, look at him. Don't look at me, look at him. And we're in a space now where it's glamorized and the people are given, we're put on pedestals and given a platform, which I think is God ordained and God used, right? But I think then people aspire to be like us rather than aspiring to be like him. And when you aspire to be like him, then he can put you in a position that we're in. You know what I mean? So I think it gets a little slippery with that. But to young women who are artists and music is their gift and the Lord has called them to lead worship, I would say keep going after what you know that the Lord has for you, and be prayerful, because there are women in some of these spaces that are now saying, how can I open the door for other women?
But okay, your album is coming out next month. What can you tell me about it? Like, what's going to be on it? Where did the inspiration come from?
This project is, it's about the glory of God, right? It's all for him, all to him, all about him, but a different light. So it's like we get to see God's glory in a different light, a different facet of who he is. And so it starts off with a song called Cover the Earth. And that song is just basically saying, it's a prayer, it's a cry out to the Lord saying, let your glory cover the earth. The scripture says, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. And so it's asking the Lord, God, let your glory cover the earth. And the idea behind that is a scripture where Jesus says to the disciples, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And every time I read that scripture, I just was so blown away by it. But as I continued to talk to the Lord about it, I realized he was saying, be the best that you can be. Shine your light. Do it as brightly as you can. Do it so much so, right, that people would see it and go, man, that can't be her. That has to be God. And so that's literally like how I try to live my life. I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to put my heart, my soul, my skill, my talent, but also my obedience into my life so that light can shine and that people would go, wow, it can't be her. It has to be God. Right? And they would see who he is, how he is, how he moves. And so that's literally the point of this whole project. There are songs on here that, I mean, the first single is called One Name, Jesus. And it's literally at the end of the song, I'm just shouting Jesus for 10 minutes. Just calling on his name. There's just so much power in who he is.
I think they're messages that we need to hear and that like we as a body need to be reminded of. Like one that I really love is your song that you had, We Agree With Heaven. Like I think that is very important, especially, you know, when you talk about not listening to politics or personalities or just anything, but saying like, we agree with heaven. Like that was one that just really stood out to me. And I was actually wondering, like, was there like a specific event that inspired that, or was it just kind of the state of the world? Or
what's funny is that chorus, I went to my friend Tim's church to minister, and when I was there, they were singing that chorus. And so he had written that chorus, and they just had, "We agree with heaven, oh heaven. We agree with heaven, oh heaven." And they were singing it, and it hit me. And I was like, "Tim, I don't know what we have to, I don't know what." I said, "Let's write to that. Let's write that out." Because that's all he had. And he was like, "Nay, that's a song the Lord gave me. Do whatever you need to do with it." He was like, "Take it, run with it." And honestly, sometimes in those moments, I'm literally praying to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do with this? Like, what is this about?" And I realized it was about prayer. It was about coming into alignment with the way God wants us to live, and the way that he's prescribed for us to do things. And I realized, and I guess if I could pull from some of what you said, I think what happened was Instagram and TikTok and everybody's opinion and Twitter and all of the things that I see, even, I think that social media is very, how do I want to say this? It's exposing. It exposes what I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about people in the world. Hello. Y'all go ahead and enjoy, right? But believers, it is exposing how much we don't know about what a godly life looks like. And I'm not talking about gray areas. And I think sometimes we focus so much on drinking and smoking and stuff like that, right? But there's a bigger thing here. You've called us to live a life where we lay ourselves down, and I'm talking about stuff like self-control, you know, and we laugh at going off, or we laugh at the preacher that's in the pulpit cussing, and we send it around and church of laugh, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, Lord, how can I put my gifts, my skill, what I have and who I am to contribute to the solution? I want to write a song. Holy Spirit, what do you want us to live like? You know, so there's a line that says, counting up the cost, picking up our crosses. We love not our lives, even unto death. Nobody's singing that. You know, we don't want to sing that. We don't want to die. But that's the call. That's what we've been called to do, to crucify our flesh and to carry our crosses and to deny ourselves. That's literally what we've been called to as believers. And I know that's not popular. I know it's not fun, but it is the way that Christ has called us to live. And so I put it to a melody, and I'm hoping that people will sing it and say, "We agree with heaven." Like, that's what, that when we agree with heaven, that's where the power is.
That was Naomi Raine. Make sure to check out the It's Time tour. It's coming to a city near you. It's not only Naomi, it's Tasha Cobbs, Leonard, Taya, Nally Grant. It's going to be a good time. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Two Truths and a Lie. Oh, if my type is just fireworks and act of faith, even though it hurts to shut that door, am I holding out forever? What if I'm wrong? Wrong to think there's more to this story. My heart pounds and they know me. Am I headstrong or foolish? You're listening to Joseph. The song is Fireworks. Joseph, with their last album, was in the magazine. You should go check that out at our website. Okay, longtime listeners, I got a little something for you. So if you've been with us over the last 10 years, specifically 13 years, you know, on the end of the year podcast, when we do all the highlights of the year, most years I have recorded it with Cohen, my kid. And this year when we did it, he wasn't with me, so he didn't make an appearance. Well, guess what? He's sitting here right now. So I wanted to bring him on, because here's the thing, longtime listeners. Last time you heard Cohen, he sounded like a cute, adorable little 8-year-old. Now he doesn't. Cohen, say hi.
Hi.
All right. So tell us what grade you're in.
I'm in 7th grade.
Tell me one thing you enjoy at school and one thing you enjoy not at school.
At school, I like playing basketball.
Okay. And then what about outside of school? What are your interests? And don't say Tyler, the Creator.
Music.
There you go. We're learning what appropriate music is for 13-year-olds right now. All right. Well, there's your moment of Cohen, everybody. His voice is deeper than his father's. His feet, I think he wears a size 12 now. He plays football and basketball. And all those cute little pictures, if you follow me on Instagram over the years, those no longer apply. He looks like a full-grown man, and it's scary that time has passed. So much time has passed. Guess what, though? Time never stops.
Hey, if you like this podcast, but you might like it better if there were no ads, you can do that. Head over to relevantmagazine.com and sign up for Relevant Plus. For just a couple bucks a month, you get this podcast ad-free. You get ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com, including the full podcast and magazine archives, our beautifully designed digital issue, and a little more. Check out all the info right there on the Relevant Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com.
Okay, it's time for two truths and a lie. You know, you've played this game at parties. What we're going to do is go around the room, and each of y'all are going to say a two truths and a lie. We got to pick which one's the right one, and whoever gets it right gets a point, and we'll score it that way. All right, Emily, you're up first. Two truths and a lie. Hit us.
Okay, I wrote mine down. During the pandemic, I got really into making macaroons. I had to cook a whole pig one time for my job. And one time I had to babysit a beaver for a friend.
Those all feel very believable in your life. I think the beaver thing is true. Because yeah, people are weird.
I want it to be true.
What do you think? What do you think, Jesse?
She used to work at a church, so doing like assistant stuff a long time ago. I think that's where she had to cook a pig. It was probably for a big church function.
What was the first one,
that's
Emily?
My guess.
I got really into making macaroons during the pandemic.
Can you guys verify that?
I believe that too. I don't know. I didn't know her in 2020.
I'm gonna say the pig thing is fake.
Okay. All right. So what is it, Emily?
I did not get into making macaroons during the pandemic. My roommate did, though, and I benefited from that a lot. No, I did have to cook a whole pig for a Super Bowl for my church. It was the worst experience of my life, and I told my pastor I'm not doing this ever again. And I did.
What do you do with the innards? Did you have to kill it? Do you have to kill it? And
no, I went
get all the guts out.
No, I had to go to a Mexican meat market and order a pig. So
like a whole pig, right?
Experience.
Like the nose and everything.
Whole pig. Yeah. And then we had to dig a hole in the ground because we cooked it in the ground.
Yeah.
It was like a luau basically. And so then we had to stuff the pig with apples, onions, different things, wrapped it in banana leaves, cooked it in the ground. It takes like 12 hours. Yeah, it was a terrible experience, but the pig tasted good. Oh yeah, it tasted great.
It's just a lot of work.
Yeah,
good.
Just a lot of work.
All right, Jesse, what's your two truths and a lie, Jesse?
I've been banned from go-kart establishments in 3 states. I've been banned from 2 different Arby's, or I'm banned from all David Bridles.
Again, all of those are believable.
Two of those are true. 2 are true.
Well, David's Bridal just went bankrupt, so we can't verify that.
No, you don't know the real reason.
They just shut down.
Wait, what was the second one you were banned from?
2 different Arby's.
Why would you be banned in 3 states from go-kart establishments?
You want to know that? Do you guys have a guess here?
It's the Arby's.
I don't think you were banned from David's Bridal.
No, he's not banned from David's Bridal. He's not banned for all David's Bridals. That's the lie, isn't it?
Well, technically, because they're closed, they'd be trespassing. So technically, it's true. But no, 2 different local Arby's. I'm a persona non grata for mainly shenanigans in high school. But as far as I know, the bans still stand. Go-karts, Oklahoma, Florida, Virginia. I've been...
what did you do to get kicked out of a go-karts in Florida?
It was that fun spot off my drive.
I know it well.
Blockbuster Dolphin Games? Remember that?
Listen, in my opinion, bumping is racing. And when you get pulled over by some teenager, here's the thing about getting yelled at a go-kart place. Go-karts are about an inch off the ground. Okay.
Yeah.
You're sitting there, your knees are above your ears. Like it's a very compromising position. And to have someone walk down and literally talk down to you about your reckless driving, trust me, you would just drive away too, because it's humiliating. And I
The 15-year-old worker came out to like yell at you, and you drove away while he was talking to you.
I'm like, I The race is going on, okay? I paid for this race. Let's all be clear.
You ran over his foot, so that's why he was...
That was not my fault. He should not have been on the track.
All right, Marty, two truths and a lie.
All right, here's mine. Number one, I'm blocked by Desiring God on Twitter.
Well, I believe that all day long.
I got COVID from a supermodel. And the last one is I mentored Michael Jordan's son in West Palm.
Okay, so Michael Jordan's sons
West Palm
went to UCF. So they
went to youth group in West Palm.
Really? Well, they went to UCF. I know that. And they're based here. One of them opened a sneaker shop here in Orlando, and he's dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. Michael Jordan's son is in a dating relationship with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. So do the math. That'll play.
So blocked by Desiring God.
I'm gonna go the Twitter banishment.
I don't think you've got COVID from a supermodel. Sorry.
I'm going to go Twitter ban because the other two, he had too many explanations for. I'm going to say Twitter ban is the lie. Emily says supermodel is the lie. Jesse, you say Twitter ban is the lie.
Got it.
It's Michael Jordan's son. I have no idea who that is, but he's in West Palm. He used to go to my boys' youth group. That's the only reason I said it, in West Palm. But I did get COVID from a supermodel. Did. My wife was really good friends with her, and it was like the middle of COVID. And
are you still in touch with her? And I'm single.
My wife probably does. I'll tell you who it is. I'll write it in the chat, and you guys tell me how big she is.
Okay. Yeah. She's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm afraid to say her. But anyway, I was at an event, and she was sitting right next to us, and it was a boxing event. She was sitting right next to us, and her and my wife became fast friends. And she's the only one I talked to without without a mask. And I got COVID immediately after that. And so we always blame it on her.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think the Desiring God thing, I think I said something about John Piper. And I think that I got to double check that someone told me that they unblocked me, but I got blocked for sure.
That's great. All right. Well, we ran out of time. There's more and we'll play it again, but we ran out of time. That's two truths and a lie. Before we wrap things up, I want to thank Naomi Rain for joining us. Make sure to check out the It's Time tour with Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, herself, Natalie Grant, and Taya. It's coming to a city near you. You can find out more info online. Just Google it. Also, I've told you about the new issue of Relevant. I tell you about it every show. You know where to find it. Go check it out online. While you're at the website, while you're at relevantmagazine.com, also to stay in touch, you should sign up for our daily newsletter. We send you our top five trending stories every weekday morning. It's a great way to keep your finger on the pulse of what we're covering. Or follow us on all the socials. We're posting on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook every day, occasionally on TikTok. Don't miss it. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we're putting out because we're putting out a ton of stuff every day. You don't want to miss it. Hey, and if you like the music you hear on the show, check out the Heard on the Relevant Podcast playlist on Spotify. We also have some other playlists like worship, indie music, hip hop. It's worth checking out. You can just search for Relevant at Spotify. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
Hey, Marty, thanks for sitting in with us. We love it when Derek's busy and you join us, man.
Thank you guys for having me always. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, check out their new album coming out next month. You don't want to miss it. And we'll see you guys on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Really, really.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.